It is so good to see you here. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. This is the building he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. My sermon this morning is based on a book by John Ortberg entitled, If You Want to Walk on the Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. I changed the title because I didn't think it was appropriate to adapt the title of his book. But it's an excellent book if you ever get a chance to read it. It's easy reading and it's very, very thought-provoking, I believe. Our text this morning is found in Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. I ask you to please follow along in your Bible as I read. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Also, there are two other verses I wish to share with you. Romans 1:17, "The righteous will live by faith," and Hebrews 11:16, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Immediately prior to the time period of our scripture, Jesus had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The crowd had been so impressed with this miraculous event, with this miracle that Jesus had performed, that they were about to rush him and grab him and lift him up and proclaim him as king. So Jesus tells the disciples to enter a boat and cast off and go to the other side of the lake, and he would dismiss the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. And as the disciples were crossing the lake in their boat, the wind began blowing against it and caused it to be buffeted by the waves. There were turbulence and rough waters. In other words, it was a storm. But yet the disciples did not seem overly concerned. And I suspect that, or wonder that, maybe their lack of concern was because they were fishermen. Maybe they were used to being in bad weather and in their boats and riding out the storm. But after 3 a.m., which is the beginning of the fourth watch, The boat is still being battered and tossed by the winds. And at that time, Jesus began walking on the water towards the boat. And it's interesting to note that the disciples did not recognize him. Apparently, in the midst of this storm, this turmoil, the last person they expected to see was the Master himself. These men were used to unpredictable weather, turbulence, waves battering the boats, storms. And in their minds, they could handle any situation. The last thing they needed was a carpenter and part-time teacher telling them how to handle a boat in rough waters. And is that not the way we live our lives and view our life's troubles and storms? We believe in our ability to solve all problems. Of course, we are not going to ask for any help. What do we need faith for anyway? We become so absorbed in attempting to solve our problems, we are oblivious to everything around us. And then when God shows up, we react just like the disciples who were terrified when he began walking on the water towards them. But as Jesus always does, he quieted the concerns of his disciples by identifying himself. "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Of course, Peter, the ever so bold and arrogant Peter, said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water." And Jesus commands Peter to come. So Peter gets over the side of the boat into the water, and Peter is walking on the water. In the history of the world, only two people have walked on water. One was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the other is Peter, his disciple. But then Peter noticed the wind out on the lake, and he became afraid and began to sink into the water. Of course, at this point, the comments you would expect from me as your pastor would be, Peter should have kept his eyes on Jesus. Peter didn't have the faith that he needed to continue his walk. Peter failed. But let me suggest that if we look at what is carrying, we may think differently. Peter was not willing to stay in the boat. And neither should we. When we analyze the situation, we must ask, did Peter fail? And to a certain extent, he did. But the disciples, the 11 others who remained in the boat, were the biggest failures. Only one man exited the boat. 11 others chose to stay in the relative comfort and safety of the boat, instead of going out on the water with Jesus. You know, in this country today, we are obsessed with comfort. We don't like change. We don't want to move out of that comfort zone. We struggle desperately to maintain and stay within it. We don't wish to take a chance of failing. We had rather stay in our boat. Well, what is our boat? Our boat is whatever represents safety and security to us apart from God himself. Our boat is whatever keeps us so comfortable that we are unwilling and do not wish to give it up, even if it keeps us from joining Jesus on the water. We can ascertain our boat by asking ourselves, what is it that most produces fear in us especially when we think of leaving it behind and stepping out in faith. Your boat can be a job. Maybe you felt Jesus calling you to do something else with your life, but yet you will not leave that job. You may not even like it, but you have some benefits. You have some hospitalization insurance, some retirement. You make a fairly decent wage. You've got bills that you've got to pay. So you do not want to leave that boat. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a poor relationship. But you're afraid that if you break it off with this person, that you won't find anybody else, that no one else will be a friend. No one else will welcome you into their life and share experiences with you. So you don't get out of that relationship. You don't get out of that boat. Maybe it's success and riches. Think about the rich young ruler. Jesus said, sell all you have and give it to the poor and then follow me. But he couldn't get out of that boat. He could not leave the comfort of having all of that money. The boat for the body of believers here may be not changing, not maybe making a new Sunday school class, not wanting the choir to have new robes, not expanding. Could be any of those things. Anything that we don't want to leave because we're fearful, for whatever reason, that it will be detrimental to us. According to Reverend or Pastor Ortberg in his book, The Lazy Boy is the best-selling chair in America. It's not the risky boy, it's not the worker boy, but it's the lazy boy. It's the number one seller. And the ones they sell now, because Connie and I just looked at them Wednesday, have a little convenient apartment to put your remote control in. And if left to live our lives as we wished, I dare most of us we live our life the way we watch football or HGTV or one of those programs that many of you ladies like. We'd sit in the remote in the lazy boy chair with the remote control in our hand. And the remote control is one of the biggest barriers to commitment ever to be invented. When I watch television, I have to have the remote control in my hand. Well, I need it to channel surf. You can't expect me without the remote to just be stuck on one channel, regardless of what's on or what commercial is on. And you certainly can't expect me to get up and change the channel. Of course, many of us go through life that way. If we had our way, we would live life with a remote control in our hand. If a job becomes a little too demanding, get a new job. If we think the person in the relationship with us is getting too close and is on the verge of learning the real us, new friends. If the pastor steps on our toes too much, new church. If we're concerned that our friends and our church won't accept us if they know our past, then we hide behind a mask. Too often we wish we could live life like that. But in our text, Peter chose not to settle for comfort. He chose not to give in to his fear. He chose to leave his comfort zone. Peter had the faith to put down the remote and get out of the boat. You know, Mark also tells this story in his gospel about Jesus walking on the water, but he adds one phrase that's not found in our text today. In Mark 6, 48 through 49, we read, "About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake." He, Jesus, was about to, and this is the phrase that only Mark has, he was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. There are two other times that this similar language is used in the Bible. One is when Moses wanted to see God, so God placed Moses in the cleft of a rock and said, "You can see my back after I pass by and see my glory." God said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." When Jesus came walking on the water towards that boat, his intention was to reveal something to the disciples. When Mark records that Jesus was about to pass by, Jesus was about to reveal his glory to the disciples. So the disciples then had a decision to make. They could either see Jesus' glory or they could participate in it. And Peter chose, the only one Peter chose to participate. Therefore, only Peter and Jesus know what it's like to walk on the water. Only Peter knows what it's like to be lifted out of the water by Jesus when he was sinking, and only Peter knows what it's like to walk on the water with Almighty God. He chose not to stay in the boat. We often talk about taking risk, and if we decide to attempt a task that is guaranteed to fail unless God intervenes, then we may be grasping an important detail of this story as told in our text. And that detail or that fact is that Peter made sure it was Jesus before he got out of the boat. He just didn't assume it was Jesus. He just didn't hope it was Jesus. So God's word is not teaching us to willy-nilly jump into things without talking with Jesus, without finding out if it is he that's talking to us, without finding out what he wants us to do, without discerning his will. So Peter called out to Jesus for instructions and guidance. In verses 28 through 29, we read, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. We are presented opportunities to take a risk and to participate in Jesus' glory, yet too often when such opportunities are presented to us, we don't possess the faith to get out of the boat. And we immediately began talking to ourselves. Why should I get out of the boat? Is the reward of getting out of the boat worth the risk of possibly drowning in the water? What if I fail when I get out of the boat? I like my boat. Must I really get out of it? Peter learned an invaluable lesson that Jesus was in the water. And following Jesus' will for our lives and for his church sometimes requires us to go into the water, to take a leap of faith. You know, failure is a real possibility when we take a leap of faith, regardless of what it is. Maybe it is even likely in a given situation. Yet I tell you, and I hope you believe, that the risk, that the reward is worth the risk. Some may say that Peter failed, but don't forget he walked on water with Jesus. And he had Jesus reach and grab him by the arm and pull him out of the water. Certainly there's a risk associated with getting out of the boat and moving forward in faith. have of staying in the boat is a greater risk. The risk of getting out of the boat is you might fail. So what? God is a God of second and third and hundreds and thousand chances. You'll get another chance to fail, but you'll also get a chance to succeed. Winston Churchill, when he told that he had failed an elementary school grade, that was chagrined at some of the reporters that he told when he repeated. He didn't say fail, and they said, "You mean you failed a grade?" And he said, "No, indeed, I was given the opportunity a second time to get it right. And I did, and was promoted to the next grade." We are given opportunities to fail all the time, but we're also given opportunities to be successful. You know, the risk is great of staying in the boat. First of all, you got to listen to a loudmouth, arrogant fisherman after he tells you that he walks on water with Jesus. And you know Peter's going to tell them. You know Peter's going to repeat that story time and time again. But seriously, the risk of staying in the boat are, number one, unrealized potential. How shall we ever know what we can accomplish if we never take a leap of faith and venture forth? The risk is living a life controlled by fear. How many of you watched the program Monk on television? Not many. Kenny. If you ever see it, he's a ex-police officer who works as a detective, and he lives his life in fear of everything. And it's comical, but yet if you really think about it, it's sad, the life that a person like that lives. The risk of not getting out of the boat is looking back and saying, what could have been? I recited a poem to you in one of my earlier sermons that I think is appropriate here. Across the fields of yesterday, he sometimes comes to me. A little lad just back from play, a boy I used to be. He smiles at me so wistfully when once he's crept within. It is as though he had hoped to see the man I might have been. Do we want to look back and say, what if? Why didn't I? The risk of staying in the boat is never praying big prayers, never making an impact on a life or a situation, never experiencing the thrill of success. But probably one of the greatest risks of staying in the boat is never experiencing the comforting hand of God as He reaches down and stops us from sinking and walks on the water with us back to the boat. I guarantee you with 100% certainty that if you do not get out of the boat, you will not walk on the water. If we want to walk on the water, we have got to get out of the boat. We must leave the boat. And if Jesus passes by, we have two options. We can stand and watch His glory, or we can participate in it by possessing the faith required to follow His will for our lives and for His church. And if you've been struggling with whether to take that leap of faith and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, no better chance than today. How often have I said, and I'm sure previous pastors have said numerous times, you know, there's no guarantee for another chance. So if you've been wrestling with taking that leap of faith and accepting the Lord, we invite you to do that this morning. All you need do is confess your sins to Him and say, Lord, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. I want You in my life. I want You there to tell me what I need to do to follow Your will. And I want to have the courage to make those leaps of faith when I know it is You and when I know You are telling me to take those leaps. If you're a member of another body of believers, but wish you can best, but believe you can best serve God here at this time, we invite you to come and make application for membership in the many ways that we accept members.